This is the Schnitt Show.
Well, that was a long 7 minutes or so. I misspoke at the very, very, very tail end of the hour. And in fact, I'm sure some of you caught it. My crew in Tampa Master Control, they didn't even catch it. But I was kicking myself. Yeah, literally, I had 20 seconds to wrap up the hour, and of course, we got a hard time, and the voiceover comes in and says, "This is the Schnitt Show." That's coming like a freight train. So I've got to stop talking right before that comes in and end the hour. What I meant to say was that the Paris Climate Accord puts us at an unfair disadvantage, and I said puts us at an unfair advantage, and clearly I think most of you knew what I meant to say, but the minute I said it, then the Schnitt Show comes in and we're done. The hour's closed. I'm like, oh man, I gotta wait 7 minutes to fix it. But clearly, you know, I just misspoke. The Paris Climate Accord, and you're gonna get reaction. You're gonna get opinions. And you know what they say about opinions? You're going to get them from all sides. But there are some factual elements that I think deserve a lot of attention from what Trump just delivered. Now, there are reports that the U.S. coal industry wanted, or some of the U.S. coal companies wanted Trump to stay in, believe it or not. We'll get to that here in a second. If you're just tuning in, at the very end of the hour, I wanted it to be very clear that the Paris Climate Accord does put the U.S. at an unfair disadvantage in the sense, and I brought this up even before Trump spoke. For instance, the worst polluter on the planet, China, they can do whatever the hell they want until 2030. We're sitting here in mid-2017. So for 12 and a half years, the Chinese can belch and fart whatever stuff they want into the environment. They could go hog wild before they so-called reached their peak. They promised that around 2030, that's when they'll reach their peak and that's when they'll start drawing down. Or would they just hold at that peak? Listen, I don't trust the Chinese. I don't trust the Chinese from a military standpoint. I don't trust them from a business standpoint. We know the espionage that goes on. And I'm not talking about just military and intelligence espionage. We're talking about the intellectual property espionage, just everything. I mean, the Chinese are not, for the most part, good citizens. Look how they treat their people. Look at the dissidents. Look at how you can't speak freely in China. Listen, I can go on and on and on. But one of the biggest, most important points of what Trump said is redistribution of wealth going to other countries, and there are many that are going to try to naysay that and poo-poo that. There is, and that's true. There's no doubt about it. So we have to curtail. We have to potentially damage our economy while other economies, India, China, who are growing and have grown largely, they get to continue while we have to pull back. It's unfair. You know, there's also, and you can't discount this, and I don't know if I've heard anyone else bring this up. Well, in fact, I'll tell you right now, I haven't heard anyone bring this up. There is a jealousy factor. This is the world according to Schnitt. There is absolutely a jealousy factor. And the way capitalism works is, well, may the best man or woman win. If you have a great product, it'll be consumed. You know, on many levels internationally, and the UN tries to do this all the time, but with the climate accord, this Paris Climate Accord, don't think for a minute that part of this was to try to hamstring the United States of America, to screw with us and our economy and allow others to get an even greater, larger footing. Like the Chinese haven't done well enough already? Yeah, I'm not buying it. And there's absolutely a jealousy factor here at play. And giving economic advantage to others and screwing with U.S. economic advantage. Again, it's that jealousy factor, and it does exist. You have a socialistic mindset. You realize the bulk of the signatories here are either socialistic, communist, on multiple levels. As far as, you know, mostly there is a bent and a lean toward socialism and sharing and spreading the wealth. And how many times have we discussed, how many times on this program have I brought up the fact that there is absolute sheer jealousy against the United States, and they love to stick it to us. The UN, it's the same mindset. It's trying to tame the big, bad United States. And don't think for a minute that the Paris Climate Accord, a good portion of this was to try to tamp us down, to bring us down, to bring American greatness down. Now, keep in mind, the Chinese have done a big number on manufacturing, and how many millions of jobs in manufacturing have been eliminated from this country with the growth of Chinese manufacturing? Huge. It's not enough. They want more. They want to really bury us and put us under. You can't deny this. It is 100% accurate. So don't think for a minute that the other countries wanted us in this accord because, you know, essentially Obama gave away the farm. I mean, you realize this. Essentially, what Obama did is he said, you know what? I'm going to weaken the United States of America even more. And that's what Obama did to this country when he became a signatory for our country in the Paris Climate Accord. Redistribution of wealth, there's no doubt about it. China gets to pollute, spew, belch. For over a decade, unfettered, whatever the hell they want to do, and we have to pull back. You know, and listen, as far as accountability, Trump was 100% right. The billions that we would put into this green fund, where the heck does that money go? What is the accountability? That sounds like a big old sloppy, nasty slush fund. Who the hell knows where that coin is actually going and being used? What's the accountability on something like that? By the way, Obama's out. This is just out. Obama issued a statement. Obama has said, nations that remain in the Paris Agreement will be the nations that reap the benefits in jobs and industries created. Well, what's the justification for that? That's just a chunk. I've got the full statement here. Let me grab the full Obama statement. Let me drag the microphone closer to the computer so I can see this thing here. I don't have time to print it out and go get it off the printer, so I got to read it off the screen here. This is from Obama, put out just after Trump pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord, which puts the United States at clearly an unfair disadvantage and lets other nations trample on our faces with golf cleats. This is what Obama said. This is a statement from the former president who signed us up for the Paris Accord. A year and a half ago, the world came together in Paris around the first ever global agreement to set the world on a low-carbon course and protect the world we leave to our children. It was steady, principled American leadership on the world stage that made the achievement possible. It was bold American ambition that encouraged dozens of other nations to set their sights higher as well. And what made that leadership and ambition possible was America's private innovation and public investment in growing industries like wind and solar. Industries that created some of the fastest new streams of good-paying jobs in recent years and contributed to the longest streak of job creation in our history. Simply put, the private sector already chose a low-carbon future. And for the nations that committed themselves to that future, the Paris Agreement opened the floodgates for businesses, scientists, and engineers to unleash a high-tech, low-carbon investment and innovation on an unprecedented scale. Well, listen, that's completely overblown. The nations that remain in the Paris Agreement will be the nations that reap the benefits in jobs and industries created. I believe the United States of America should be at the front of the pack. But even in the absence of American leadership, even as this administration joins a small handful of nations that reject the future, I'm confident that our states, cities, and businesses will step up and do even more to lead the way and help protect the future generations and the one planet we've got. So that's the Obama statement in regard to us pulling out. If you missed it, folks, if you're just tuning in, here is Trump officially pulling out of the accord.
I am fighting every day for the great people of this country. Therefore, in order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord Thank you. But begin negotiations to re-enter either the Paris Accord or an entirely new transaction on terms that are fair to the United States, its businesses, its workers, its people, its taxpayers.
So the possibility of re-entering on different terms or coming up with a whole different climate accord, who do you think that was a hat tip to? Who do you think that that statement that, hey, we could go back in if the terms are more favorable to the United States and didn't give advantage to countries that are trying to chew us alive like China? Who do you think that that little concession was for? In the White House, who do you think wanted us to stay in the Paris Accord versus who do you think wanted us out of the Paris Climate Accord? This is pretty interesting. Let's deal with that next here on Schnitt. We got a lot of other things we got to deal with today. U.S. coal companies, some wanted Trump to stay in. I guess Elon Musk is out. Remember Elon Musk threatened that if Trump leaves the Paris climate deal, that he's out, that he's not going to advise Trump anymore? Because Elon Musk said he was going to resign from Trump's panel of advisors if Trump pulled out. And Elon Musk has tweeted. Elon Musk, the head of Tesla, the Tesla founder, he has spoken. And we'll tell you what he said coming up. Stand by. Here on Schnitt. And you know what's amazing? Even with all these changes, by the turn of the century, 2100, the estimate is that global temperatures would be reduced by 0.2 degree Celsius. 0.2 degree. For all that, the jillions of dollars that would be spent. Oh, boy. All right. 800-801-8999. Nationwide number here on Schnitt. 800-801-8999. We'll also go to calls coming up as well. And we have a lot of other things we got to get. I don't want to do the whole show on this climate thing, but it is a pretty important story. But it will be even less important than what's going to happen next with Comey. It looks like word is out that Comey is going to testify before Congress next Thursday. It looks like 10 a.m. next Thursday, Comey is going to spill beans, and this is the most anticipated congressional testimony since, this is probably the most anticipated testimony since what, pubic hair on the Coke with Anita Hill? And the Clarence Thomas hearings back in, 1991? All right, folks. Hang on. There's a whole lot more we got to get to here in just a matter of minutes on Schnitt. You know, with Father's Day coming up quickly, don't forget about Dad. I'm going to tell you how to take care of Dad right now with a gift that he is going to use all the time. Not something that's going to get shoved in a drawer, thrown out. You know what Dad wants for Father's Day? You know what you need to get Dad for Father's Day? Or any other dad, whether it's your grandfather, uncles, all the fathers in your life. the unbelievable, amazing Harry's shaving set. Harry's, the best quality at the best price. Now, this is really, really cool. Now, I've been using Harry's for years. Harry's makes one heck of a phenomenal product here. And the Father's Day shaving sets from Harry's are phenomenal. Great shave, great price. So the Harry shaving sets, which come in a gift box that, I mean, it's really nice. I mean, it really, they sent me a couple of these to check out, and they really have done a great job. The Harry shave sets, sets for Father's Day start at just $15. Get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's five-blade engineered razors. For a limited time, you can save also on the Harry set. With my code SCHNIT5 at harrys.com, save $5 off the order. You know, there's a limited edition Father's Day shave set. Includes a matte black razor handle, a chrome razor stand, moisturizing shave gel, three of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges, travel cover, a giftable box. The Harry's shave set start at $15. Folks, go to harrys.com, use the code SCHNIT5, get $5 off. Take care of dad right now. Go to harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S. Harrys.com, use the code SCHNIT5, S-C-H-N-I-T-T, number 5, save $5 right now.
SCHNIT Show.
Apparently the deal is that Ivanka and Jared wanted Trump to stay in the Paris Accord as well as Rick Perry, the energy secretary, and another surprise individual. Who wanted out? We'll get into all of it next.
SCHNIT Show.
Folks, this is breaking. And when I mean breaking. Elon Musk has just rammed a Tesla through the front gates at the White House. No, I'm kidding. He hasn't done that. However, Elon Musk said that if Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, that he was going to pull out of the presidential advisory councils on which he sat. This is the actual tweet from Elon Musk. Elon Musk wrote just a little while ago on Twitter, "Am departing presidential councils. Climate change is real. Leaving Paris is not good for America or the world." So, Elon Musk, and of course, you know, his whole deal's the electric and the battery-powered Tesla vehicles, but, you know, you have to generate electricity to power those vehicles in order to charge those batteries, you know, which that's sort of an inconvenient truth to a certain extent. Hey, quickly, a lot of the environmental folks, they want to ignore, you know, creating all of the electricity to power those batteries for those cars. And, you know, there have been numerous studies over the years that the damage to the environment to build these electric cars is far greater in building these electric and battery-powered cars than building conventional vehicles. Yeah, that narrative, that story has been around for a while, and I've seen numerous reports on that, that you look at the impact on the environment in building an electric car or a battery-powered car versus building a conventional car. And it's significantly worse to build the so-called green vehicle. You know, it's like, you know, the whole ethanol thing. And this has come up many times over the years on the program as well, that environmentally, you know, it takes more energy to create a gallon of ethanol, you know, corn-based ethanol, than you reap. It takes more energy to make it than you actually get out of it. And, you know, ethanol doesn't deliver the same energy as far as BTUs. Gasoline burns hotter, and there's more energy that's derived from burning gasoline than from burning ethanol. And, you know, just the water usage, the environmental damage that goes into the production of corn-based ethanol. And keep in mind that, you know, you have states that are big corn-producing states, and you have Republican or conservative members of Congress that are all for it because it's economically important for their state. But if they had not been in one of those states that produces a whole lot of corn for ethanol, they'd be opposed it, and they'd be using some of the same data. So there's a lot of hypocrisy that's about. All right, Back to the Paris Climate Accord and who wanted the White House in, who wanted America out. So the word is that Ivanka and Jared both wanted to stay in the Paris Accord. In fact, the little, little nod that, hey, we're willing to negotiate better terms to get back into the Paris deal or negotiating a whole new deal, that apparently was a nod and a concession to Ivanka. So Ivanka Trump and Jared, or I should say Ivanka Kushner, right? So Ivanka Kushner and Jared Kushner, they wanted Trump to stay in. Same with Rick Perry. Rick Perry, the energy secretary, former governor of Texas, wanted to stay apparently into the in the climate accord. Rex Tillerson. See, this is an interesting little shocker. Rex Tillerson wanted to stay in as well, allegedly. You know, the former head of ExxonMobil wanted to stay in. Now, who wanted out? Well, of course, the evil Steve Bannon. I'm not a Bannon fan, per se. But Bannon apparently wanted out, and even Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, wanted out. And, well, the folks are going nuts over that. Oh, my God. Well, they've already gone nuts over Pruitt heading. They call it an oxymoron. How can a guy like Pruitt, how can he run the EPA? Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that's going to be a talking point for quite some time. And, you know, many on the left are becoming apoplectic that, you know, Scott Pruitt is the EPA chief and then also that he wanted out of the accord. No, it does. It puts the United States at a disadvantage. No doubt about it. It gives others an unfair advantage. What's the accountability for the billions and billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars that would go into the so-called climate green fund? I mean, what's the story here? Well, listen, Trump came through on a campaign promise. You know, so far he hasn't fulfilled a lot of the campaign promises. You know, this is one that he could do unilaterally. This is one that Trump could actually do to try to shore up the report card on what Trump promised and what Trump is getting done. Again, it's important, and I'm going to go over a list here, just a couple of notes. Now, what's important to remember that the goals for reducing emissions, voluntary, and they could be eased if we stayed in. The goal's voluntary, and we could have stayed in Paris, and technically we could have eased some of those promises or commitments. But we decided to do this, which I approve of it. I would have done the very same thing. You know, already we're among the cleanest on the planet. We care about our air and water. We're not going to go to hell in a handbasket just because we pulled out of this very arbitrary Paris climate deal. You know, the seas haven't started to instantly rise. We're not choking on smoke suddenly because Trump pulled out. And the environment is not going to get horrifically bad. Things are not going to... We're still continuing to clean water and air in this country. The joke is some of the signatories that are the worst polluters on the planet that get to pollute for over a decade before they have to sort of begin to pull back. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's asinine. You know, Trump, though, you can't discount the fact that Trump was looking also through the political lens. If Trump stayed in the agreement, yes, that would have hurt him with the Trump supportive base. Because Trump said all along on the campaign trail that he would pull out of the accord if he were elected. So, there are some politics here as well. And he would have pissed off the base if he didn't pull out. You know, Trump has, at this point, not fulfilled a bunch of campaign promises. You know, today, for instance, when he signed a waiver that allows our Israeli embassy to stay where it is in Tel Aviv and not move to Jerusalem, you know, he said that, hey, when I become president, I'm moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And that's not going to happen anytime soon, if ever, under this president. I don't think it is. You know, I don't think Trump feels like it's time to break another campaign promise or not fulfill one, and this was an easy one to pull out of the Paris Accord. Folks, this is feel-good, liberal slop, I mean, for the most part. I mean, it's words. What's the real commitment? What would the real fulfillment be? The worst polluters on the planet, like China and India, they don't have to pull back immediately. They get to belch and spew for, in China's case, for almost 13 more years. So, listen, I'm an honest guy, so I'm going to tell you, politically, this was good for Trump and his base to pull out of the accord. But listen, in all fairness, it is good to pull out because it is a giant redistribution of wealth and a handout to other countries. There's no doubt about it. You know, Trump did not pull out of NATO. He didn't pull out of the Iran deal. We got the travel ban, which is still tied up in court, obviously. The wall has not begun. So, listen, Trump needed to have a peace pipe action, you know, with his base. So this fulfills that, but also there are good reasons why we should have pulled ourselves out. You know, critics of the Paris climate deal say it's a job killer. It hurts the economy, and, you know, it does. You know, some of the numbers are as high as, over time, 6.5 million jobs could be lost if we stayed in and honored our portion of the Paris Climate Accord. But listen, you also, in all fairness, you had plenty of businesses that they wanted the opposite. You had American businesses that wanted us to stay with the deal. They were pressuring Trump, stay in. And you know, not only the Silicon Valley types like Elon Musk. No, some of the industrial giants and some surprises here. Companies like ExxonMobil, they wanted the president to stay in. Rex Tillerson, who ran that before becoming Secretary of State, he wanted us to stay in. The ExxonMobil chief executive officer is Darren Woods, and he said that all of these companies want to sell the new technology and energy sources like natural gas that are needed to reduce carbon emissions, so they think that they could do fairly well, but you have to look at the big picture economically, what would be lost. You know, they saw, oil companies, they saw this new big revenue stream on the horizon, and they wanted the U.S. government to participate in the global negotiations about how changes would be made. So they're looking at, their dollar-making advantage, but the big picture as far as job loss, it's a net negative for the United States for the most part here. You know, you had Mitt Romney. Romney sees pulling out as an abdication of global American leadership. I don't see it that way. I see it as protecting this country. I guess the net negative is fairly great, according to everything that I've seen, and I trust what I've seen. You know, companies that, companies like Adobe, Apple, BP, Chevron, DuPont, eBay, General Mills, Google, Hilton, Intel, Johnson & Johnson, Kellogg, Monsanto, Royal Dutch Shell, Staples, Salesforce, Starbucks. Well, you got a bunch of, liberal-minded operations here. Symantec, the software company. Tesla wanted us to stay in. Elon Musk has now resigned from any Trump advisory council, so he's done with Trump. Dow Chemical wanted us to stay in. Tiffany's, Unilever, which is British-owned, if I'm not mistaken, but there are a lot of interests here in the United States. But on this list, you have to look and see what is their economic advantage personally. And I think you'd open up a door to a whole lot of, selfish behavior, because it serves their interests, not necessarily the broader interests of the country. So we gave you who was in, we gave you who was out, and there you have it. So I think ultimately good decision. We are going to continue to care about clean air and water, but not at the expense of American jobs. And I bet you that we do a great job in cleaning up air and water and reducing carbon emissions, but not handing jobs to China and other emerging economies and screwing ourselves over. 800-801-8999. You want to weigh in on this? You know, I haven't gone to phones yet. There's a lot to cover today. I haven't even scratched the surface on all the other stuff. 800-801-8999 if you think we ought to be in or out. Hey, have at it. Fire up the phones. 800-801-8999, nationwide number. Hit our phones right now if you agree or disagree with what Trump did. If you think that suddenly by next Tuesday the seas are going to rise 20 feet and portions of many metropolitan coastal cities will be underwater because of this, well, fire up the phones. Yeah, being a smart ass. 800-801-8999 gets you in here on Schnitt. With all this angst. Hey, folks, I want you to get the ultimate night's sleep. Why are you depriving yourself? Why don't you have a Casper mattress yet? You know, it's really cool. I get emails. Sue will get phone calls. We've had callers mention it on the air. I'll get tweets. Hey, Schnitt. Ordered the Casper. Can't wait. Or, hey, Schnitt, got the Casper. Love the Casper. You're 100% right. The Casper mattress is one amazing, technologically advanced mattress with two high-tech foams. This thing has won awards. It is cool. It's comfortable. It gives you the support you need. It just feels good. And I know because I sleep on a Casper. My wife and I have a king-size Casper. My kids both have Caspers. You know, you get to try the Casper mattress. All the sizes are available, king and queen and full and double, and they have everything, and whatever size you need. Price point is amazing. When you see the price of the mattress, you're going to go, whoa, that's a good price. You know, they ship for free. Once you order it, they ship it for free. If you don't like it, you send it back, and it's free shipping back. You have 100 nights. You get to sleep on the Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free. You don't like it? They'll refund you everything, no questions asked. Try the Casper mattress for 100 nights, risk-free in your own home. Go to Casper.com, use the code Todd. Go to Casper.com, it's Casper, C-A-S-P-E-R, Casper.com, and use the code T-O-D-D and get $50 toward the purchase of your mattress right now. Casper.com, code is Todd, toward the purchase of your mattress, T-O-D-D. Terms and conditions apply.
Transmitting nationwide. This is Schnitt.
You know, a lot of the climate change hysteria, you know, remember Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth? Aaron Bandler had written a piece where he kind of went over some of the claims in the Al Gore, the original movie, and what hasn't happened. For instance, you know, the melting of Greenland or West Antarctica would cause sea levels to increase as much as 20 feet. Remember, was it 2016? And, well, we're in 2017, and, not underwater in all the places that were supposed to be underwater at this point. Pacific atolls in New Zealand had to be evacuated because of climate change? Nope, that hasn't happened yet. The ocean conveyor would shut down entirely? Yeah, because of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, had evidence that the conveyor would possibly slow down. Remember that whole deal? NASA concluded the data revealed that not only was there no significant slowing, but anyway, I mean, it's like item after item that Gore just got wrong in An Inconvenient Truth. You know, graphs that were presented. Remember the hockey stick graph had to be revised. Remember that whole story? Mount Kilimanjaro would no longer have snow in less than 10 years. Remember, was it by 2014 or whatever? That didn't happen. I mean, it goes on and on. Oh, polar bears would die. Actually, the polar bear population has increased from like 20 to 25,000 in 2005 to, knocking on 35,000 bears at this point. Oh, boy. Back in a minute, hour three next.
This is the Schnitt Show.